Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. And praise the Lord to each and every one of you who have joined us even on this telecast. We thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to come again and share with you what thus says the word of the Lord. On this Sunday, let us pause first for, what should I say, before we begin and just have a word of prayer. I want to ask those of you who know the worth of prayer, those of you, especially those in the household of faith, that you remember one of our fallen soldiers, and that is in the person of Pastor Leonard Washington of the Prosecco and Nestia Christian Fellowship Church. He's gone from labor to reward. The Lord has called him on home. He's labored in the vineyard long enough. He had a few years on him, yet he still has outran us. So it's all right. Those of us who know where we're going, we only sadness that we have is that we can't physically fellowship with our friend and brother here on this side right now, but we do have the blessed assurance that we'll get a chance to meet again and that we'll see him again, even in heaven. So, those of you who know the word of prayer, pray for his family, his mate, whom he has left behind, and their family, and all of us who love and are a little bit grievous right now. So, in other words, let us all pray for one another. Having said that, let us look to the Lord, even in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you and glorify you always, because, Lord, you are always so good to us, even better to us than we are to ourselves. And Father, we've come gathered today for the express purpose of praising and worshiping you in spirit and in truth, and to be blessed by and through your word today. And Lord, as you have allowed me to bring forth your word, Lord, I pray that you will let me do so, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego, but Lord, just to bring forth that which you would have to be given to your children, to your people. Lord, that we all might be illuminated, that we all again might be blessed by and through your word. And it's our hope, Heavenly Father, as always, that some soul truly will be edified, sanctified, and again that you will be glorified. For this we do pray in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to speak to you today from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter, the eighth and ninth verses, and from the book of Revelation, the 10th and the 11th verses. Ephesians, the second chapter, the eighth and ninth verses. And I'll be reading both passages, Ephesians and Revelation, from the New International Version. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 10th and 11th verses. Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. and let the holy person continue to be holy. We have read from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 10th through the 11th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Some of you are probably saying, wow, that's kind of strange that the Bible would say if you are doing wrong, just keep on doing wrong. Or if you're a vile person, if you are a hateful or mean or whatever other ways you want to describe this word vile, if you're that type of person, you just continue to be that type. Evil, despicable. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. Okay. By the same token, he always says, if you're doing right, you're living righteously, you're doing well, you're doing good in the sight of God, continue to do that. That sounds strange to some of you, but we're going to make it plain before we finish. Y'all stay with me. We started out with a very familiar passage of scripture as well. All right, it's by grace through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. Keep these two in mind. You say, okay, you've read them twice, you've commented on them twice. I want it to stay in your mind as we go forward. Keep these in your mind. Okay? And one of the main reasons why I'm emphasizing this so intently, because I've heard it said that people today need hope. People need hope. I mean, right now, people are experiencing disappointments, destructions, disasters, devastations at levels that are leaving them dumbfounded, distraught, disappointed. And it's just sad. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't even believe it's the majority of people feeling this way. I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of people on the earth, probably over 8 billion people at this point. And if we were to say half of them felt this way, that's a lot of people. But I don't even believe it's half. If they're going to be such a great falling away, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to start a lesson that I don't want to finish right now. But it's just a lot of people that are feeling this way because it's rough. And I'm not talking about just here in America, here in the United States. No, worldwide, terrible things are happening. We read about some. We hear about some of them we're getting a good story, some of them we're getting mixed up stories because the world, I want you to hear what I'm saying. The world loves to propagate. It loves to paint the picture it wants you to see, which is not always necessarily the way things really are. The world thinks they have. A lot of times they think they have the people's, I want you to hear this, best interests at heart, not to tell them the whole story. They'll say things that, well, we don't want to cause panic. We don't want to cause people to go around doing terrible things because they feel as though there is no hope. And they think the powers that be. The powers that control the media, that controls what you're viewing on the news and even through the internet. That's the ones that are controlling what you're hearing people say to you, what's going on. And they feel as though the powers that be feel as though they're doing what's in the best interest. And I'm going to leave it right there, best interest, because I don't know whose best interest it is. I don't know who would rather hear something that's made up as opposed to hearing the actual truth. The truth, yes, is sometimes scary. It's sometimes something we don't want to hear. But I know I would rather deal with the truth than deal with a lie. See, if you give me the truth, no matter how bad it is, I can take care of it. I can deal with it. I mean, don't tell me I'm having indigestion when I'm really having a heart attack. Because the stuff I take for the indigestion is not going to take care and cure me or heal me from the heart attack. Tell me I got it. I'm scared of it. I would be scared of the heart attack, but I would do what it takes to try to make myself better, as opposed to taking the wrong thing and continuing to do wrong, to do bad, or to be unhealthy. I'll just leave that right there. Okay. Now, hear this. So I've heard it said that this is an opportune time for Christians to show love to people because they are primed to receive love. I want you to hear that statement. A lot of people say, yeah, this is a good time for Christians to show love. You got people out here who are looking for love. They want love. Okay. There's somebody who is confused about what sex they are, what gender they are. Because when I came along, they meant two different things. And I stayed that statement, and I'm gonna stay with that. There are people who are unsure about how to raise their children in this world that we're living in today. There are people who are not sure of how they're even supposed to treat one another. And that list can go on and on and on. And for those who are living in this world worrying about who's walking behind them as they're going down the street, you say, well, there's some places people don't worry about that. Well, maybe there are, but there are a lot of places with people who do. People are looking at the news, I guess as we've already stated, what's going on around about them, and they feel it, oh man, it's about hopeless now. So yes, you said people want love, but do they? I mean, are they really looking for love? And some of you are saying, of course they are. Well, let's see it. Let's continue and see if they really are. You see, for those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are Christians, those of us who are believers, me personally, I'd rather use the word believer, but Christian will work as well for a lot of us, for understanding's sake. For those of us who are believers or Christians, the type of love that we have to express to people that we come in contact with, for people that we become engaged with, engaged in conversation and just meeting, maybe even on the street, on the bus, on your job, or wherever. This type of love is agape love, Christ-like love. Now, you say, well, love is love. Well, let me explain something to you about this. If I really, really love you, I have to show it. I have to express it. It's not enough for me to say, okay, I love you, and then walk away and never call you, never write you, never come see you. How will you know I love you? I'm not showing you anything. Never give you a gift, never give you a card. You have no idea that I love you or not, because I'm not showing it. Even the Lord requires us to express our love, even our love to Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. We just talked about this recently. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So when you tell someone I love you, how will they know? Those of us who are believers in the word of the Lord, when we hear these people saying that it's hopeless, they don't have hope, that's our cue. When I get chance, when you get chance to talk with them, if you really want to show them love, you will introduce them to the Lord. Now, yes, some of you say, well, wow, you just go jump right in there. Of course, but there are ways to do that. Okay, everybody, you can't approach with the old shoot them right between the eyes method. This is why we have to study to show ourselves good workmen approved unto God. This is why we have to study our work. This is why we come together, even in our Bible studies, when we're able to share with one another on how we approach what we have been commissioned and commanded to do. Some of us give out tracts. Some of us give out pamphlets. Some of us give out verses. And some of us are able to stand and just talk with folks. You have different gifts and you have different abilities and you have different ways to go about sharing the Lord with folks. And it's good to, to be able to talk with one another, to be able to brainstorm, to come together and share with other believers. Your method. I can learn from your method. You can learn from mine. Because our job really is to go out and lead others to the Lord. That's all. That's our main goal in life. Sure, we have to go to our various jobs to be able to live and pay for bills and food and things of that nature. But our main purpose, what we live for as believers, is to lead others to the Lord just as we have been led. And just as we have been led, excuse me. That is what we want to do. That is what we have been commissioned and commanded to do. So, hearing folks say that they are looking for love, they're looking for hope. I'm saying the first thing that we who are believers, okay, is to offer to people in this world a way to the Lord, to just lead them to the Lord. When you have an opportunity to engage in a conversation with someone, your main objective should be to find out if they're saved. Again, some of you may be able to just out and out ask them. Some of you, by certain things that you may that may have prompted your conversation to begin with, that may help lead you into it. But your main objective, your main hope, while you're standing there talking to them, you're whispering to the Lord, show me how to introduce you to them. You may find out that the person is saved, and that may help you, and that may cause your conversation to go in a very nice direction. Or if you find out they're not, then the Lord directing you how to go into your conversation from there. But your main objective is to introduce Jesus to them. Some of you say, well, I mean, not every time. I said, every opportunity you get. If you really want to show the true Christ-like love, that's what you'll do because you know that they can leave here at any moment. Just as sure as you can leave here, they can. And you don't want them to leave. Leave from this earth and not have it been told that they need Jesus Christ to save their souls. You don't want that. You don't want to be have to stand before the Lord and say, yeah, Lord, I had an opportunity, but I let it go. I was a little embarrassed. I didn't feel as though I was in the right place to have that conversation. And come up with different excuses. When the Lord told you what to do, when the Lord lets you understand that you are a workman on the job, we are always on the job. That's our job. That's what we have been commissioned. and commanded to do. So yes, that should be your main. I'm not saying that you're every chance, every time you speak with someone that will happen, but that is your main objective. Sometimes folks don't want to receive what you have to say. In this day and time, there's some people who, yes, on one hand, they're saying that they are looking for hope, but at the second time, or on the other hand, they're not open to really hear from people they don't know for whatever reason. So you may not always have that opportunity to share with that person. We understand that. But like I said, when you are given the opportunity, don't let it get past. And secondly, after you find out whether the person is saved or not, as we mentioned briefly, the conversation will go, like I said, will go one way or the other. If they're saved already, then y'all may have just a beautiful conversation. You know, if you, especially if you're riding a bus or wherever, on a plane trip, wherever you are, it can turn into a beautiful conversation. You're just sharing experiences and things with one another. And if they're not, you know, yeah, and you've already been praying to the Lord to direct you, the Lord will help you in your conversation because your intent, your heart, your objective is to introduce Jesus to that person. And I guarantee you the Lord will help you as you have been preparing to do this. Remember, you know what we've been preparing to do as well. Okay. And thirdly, I gotta say this. Do not let the person you are engaging with not know that Jesus provides, not provided, like he's gone. Jesus provides all the hope they need. Now that can, well, I hope it's a plane trip. I hope it's a long bus ride. I hope you have a lot of time, you know, as you lead this person. And as they have questions to ask you, what do you mean he can provide all the hope I need? And you can go on and on. We both know that there's so many passages of scripture that the Lord may lead you through, you know, that you have studied and you're prepared to share with that person. And you're just hoping that the Lord will give you the opportunity to do so. Now that's the ideal. That's the ideal way things should go. Okay. But let's understand something. Understand something. You see, many people need to be made to understand that there is no greater expression of love than leading them to the one who can give them eternal life. You said you're looking for hope. What you're really looking for and what you're really hoping is that somebody will express true love to you. True agape, Christ-like love. If you really love someone, mom, dad, sister, brother, cousin, uncle, aunt, whoever it might be, if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you know how good He is. You know that you have the blessed assurance that when this a busy walk of life is over with, I don't care if you have the next 60, 70, 80, 90, even 100 years ahead of you, that is nothing, that is no time compared to the eternity that you will be facing. And it's good to know that you will be looking at an eternity to be spending with Jesus. And who does not want to spend that eternity, not just with Jesus, but knowing that your loved one, your family member, your friend, your buddy, your mate, your mother, your father, whomever, is going to be in glory in heaven with you. If you love them, you will want that for them because you know the alternative is hell. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to say that, well, it's a place that's not so perfect. It's hell. Ain't but two places that I'm saying, ain't y'all? Y'all don't mind if I talk plain to you. There's not but two places to go. Heaven, hell. There is no in between. There isn't. spend eternity. And if you want to know more about that, of course, as I always state, feel free to contact me. I'll be more than glad to discuss this more with you. Okay, okay. So you're expressing this. You're showing this love. You're by expressing the need and the way and means to get from where they are to in the presence of Jesus, because he's the only one that can get us from earth to glory. So you can't get there except through Jesus Christ. So that's why we need to introduce Jesus to folks. I have no heaven to send them to. I have no hell to send them to. The thing I can give them is what I received, and that's Jesus Christ. What every believer has received, and that's Jesus. And that's what we want to share with everyone we get an opportunity. But you said, okay, I got you. I got you. But I heard what you said. You said, for a subject, we're talking about the grace period is over. That's our subject for today. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Well, let's go a little further and see. Now, after teaching people that all they need to do is wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, I try to get out of the habit, because a lot of it is habit that we've just gotten through the years of saying, well, Jesus was Jesus. Jesus is still alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive. So I try to get out of the habit of who he was and all that. I don't want folks to think that we're talking about serving a Jesus who's gone and dead and up. No, he's yet alive. And after teaching people that all they need is to wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He is Lord. He is Savior. Okay? And now we want to teach them how and what they need to do or say to have Jesus become their Lord, their Savior. It's personal. We've shared this with you often, and we will, if the Lord allows, we continue to share it. It's personal. It's personal. There's a lot of people who know that Jesus is the Lord, the Savior, but they have not asked him to be their Lord and Savior. That's important. We know that we have a president of this country, but somebody over in Italy, Spain, Germany, or wherever, they say, yeah, well, that's yours, president. He's not ours. And if he came in, if he went to their country and visited them, they wouldn't give him his title, because that's what who he is. Just like if their king or their monarch, whoever it is that heads their country, came here, yes, we if he had the title of king, emperor, or whatever his title might be, we would call him that. But that does not make him our king or our emperor. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Many people say, yes, teacher, rabbi, Lord. And yet they have not made him their Lord, their Savior. And this is what we need to teach folks. That's part of what we need. It's not that's not in its entirety, but that's probably what we need to be teaching, and as well as showing people. Okay. And we so when they now watch this, and we need to let them know that when they receive the Lord as their as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he will then provide them with all the hope that they really need. Wow, that's a powerful statement. I don't know if y'all realize how powerful that statement is. Even a lot of people in the world know some Bible. When I was a kid and going to elementary school, we recited almost every morning at least the 23rd Psalm. And we all, and many of us know that the Lord is my shepherd. This is David, who's king at the time, king over the land. And listen to what he said, the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd, the one who leads me. And he goes on to describe what his shepherd does for him. For those of you who may have forgotten, take it upon yourselves to read the 23rd Psalm. Refresh yourself with it. As David described what his shepherd does for him. Even though he was in the position of king, he had authority over the whole land, even he had someone over him that led him. Okay. So, yes, to tell them that Jesus will provide all of the hope they need for everything that they're looking for, everything that's troubling their heart, that's troubling their spirit, that's troubling their mind. Jesus can provide hope through it all. That's a powerful statement. Okay. And when you're sharing this with folks, let me tell you something. When you tell them this, and they still refuse to receive this message of salvation, this message of hope, this message that's introducing them to Jesus the Christ. They refuse this message. I want that a lot of them don't realize what they're doing. And again, if they allow you the opportunity, you have to let them know, just as I'm letting you know, that it is for this very reason that God will not always be gracious to man. He's not going to always be gracious to man. God has done so much for man. As we look around, the things he has created, how he has blessed us, how he is still blessing man, you know. From the things that we take for granted, your wife has become pregnant. Yet, you know, maybe you have children already, and the Lord has blessed you with healthy children. The Lord has blessed you with a decent job. And the list can go on and on and on. Those material things, those things that will not last forever, but yet the Lord has blessed you with some of those. And not only that, when God has placed open doors before you, blessing you in ways that you, again, we take for granted. Whew, I'm driving. I almost had that accident. I'm so glad I was able to swerve out of the way. You were able to do so. That person who almost hit you, they swerved out of the way. But God, you give God no glory in that, no praise in that. Only looking at the actual circumstance or the person involved, not giving God the credit for blessing you. Like the man who's fallen out of the window on his way down to the ground. Oh God, help me, oh God, help me. And as he got down, before he even hit the ground, I'm told that it was a spike, a nail or whatever, sticking out of the building, and they caught his garment and hung him up. He said, Oh God, that's all right. The nail saved me. Y'all see where we're going with these little things. But there's a lot of things that we take for granted. A lot of little stories and situations that we can come up. Y'all know the one about the man on the roof as the town he was living in or wherever is flooded out and the water's gradually coming up. He's calling on the Lord. The Lord says by a person in a boat, come on, man. He said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. One or two other people come by, I'm waiting for God. And then he winds up drowning, standing before the Lord. Lord, I waited for you. The Lord said, I sent you three people to come and rescue you. Y'all know these are, you know, there's a ton of stories like this. The point is, okay, God has always showed, given us opportunity. Opportunity to be able to be in his presence. You may be one of the ways that he's sending you to a particular person. Some of you remember seeing people on the corners. Some are preaching fire and brimstone. Some are simply speaking with a nice voice. You need to be born again. Some are there, like we said earlier, giving out pamphlets, giving out Bible verses, just sharing Jesus Christ, trying to introduce him to whoever and anyone that will receive him. The Lord is providing many, many ways for folks to hear his message. And especially, he's doing this and reminding us always. Like he said, when Jesus came, he said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And he's telling us in his word, "I want you to hear him. This is my son. I'm sending him. He's going to come and take your sin upon himself. He's never done any sin, but he's going to come and take yours. He's going to do this. Why? Because we love you. And the only way you can be in my presence is if you're sinless, if you're righteous. You one, like, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. And secondly, you need to be washed in the blood of my son. I can't look on you any other way. I can't. You need to have this done for you." And this is what the Lord is saying. Now, I'm almost there. Y'all stay with me. I'm almost done. Why I say the grace period is over. Just going to share one more thing with you before we get to the end here. I'm going to state this here. When God takes into consideration all that he has done for you, even to sending his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for you, and you refuse all of this, he's saying to you, "Okay, there's a day that's going to come when my liberality is going to be withdrawn. Where I'm, all you have to do, I'm just allowing you to just receive the gift of my son. That's all you have to do from your heart. Just receive it. Believe it. Believe that he is who he says he is, and that he can be that for you. And you receive that and ask him to be that for you. But yet you continue to refuse to receive this gift. Then I'm going to withdraw I'm going to withdraw it. There are too many that are willing to receive it, but they haven't heard it. That's why I'm sending my soldiers, my followers, my believers, all out throughout the world to reach those who want to hear the truth, to reach those who don't have the opportunity that we have here in this United States, where we can open up our phones, look on our televisions, turn on our radios, and hear a word all over the place coming from so many, again, different evangelists, true ones that the Lord has out here. The Lord is providing all of this, yet so many still refuse to receive it. That's why he says, "Okay, the time's going to come. I'm going to let it go." That's when the grace period is over. That's when the grace period will be over. Folks need to understand that. And you're saying, "Well, are we at that point now?" No. When this happens, those of us who are believers walking around right now will be gone. Y'all heard the story. Y'all read it in the word. You haven't seen the word rapture, but you have seen that a time's going to come where the dead in Christ and those who are walking around believing in Christ will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. This is what we refer to when we say the rapture. That's going to happen. And when that happens afterwards, my Lord, have mercy. the grace period will be over then. You see, right now, all you have to do is just believe, accept him, receive him. Okay, learn more about him and grow as you go along. But I'm here to tell you, when this time comes, when the Lord calls his people home and you're in the tribulation period, when the grace period is over with, just the fact that you say that you're a follower of his could cost you your life. You see, you're going to have to prove it then. When during this period where you have learned better, you know better, you know that, oh my gosh, the Lord has come. I didn't believe. I didn't receive it. I refused to accept it. But you'll know what happened. You start remembering the lessons you were taught in Sunday school, in Bible school, in church, words you've heard walking through the streets, seeing evangelists preaching on television, even hearing it through other different mediums, just people just speaking, you'll know what happened. And you know that I've been led. But you may also remember that there'll be a time the Lord's going to give me a chance, another chance. But now it's a costly chance. Because for those who want to try to make it through this tribulation period, when things are really bad, you know that they're going to have to side with the devil and show that their allegiance to him by taking the mark, either on their forehead or in their hands. And you know that, and you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you know that if you don't do that, you won't be able to even buy food for your family. You'll know that, matter of fact, not only will you not be able to buy it, you may have money, you may have had money in the bank or wherever people be able to save money when that time comes, but you won't be able to spend it. And the fact that you refuse to take that mark means automatically that you're siding with Jesus, with the Lord. You're not with Christ, I mean with the devil. Like I keep reminding you, there's only two choices. You're not with him. And the world will punish you for that. See, the world's not punishing you for that now. Because Lord, God is so gracious. You don't have to, you can go around and say, hey, I don't believe in God. I don't really believe in the devil. You can go along with that all you want. It doesn't change the fact that they exist. The devil loves to hear you say, I don't believe in him, and just go ahead on and live like you want to live. Because you have not accepted Jesus. As long as you don't accept Jesus, he don't care, because that means you automatically go be with him. So say what you want. Your life speaks louder than what your voice says. You say what you want, but we see what you're doing. But you need to understand that there's going to be that time that's going to come when God's grace is no longer abounding here in the world, where, yes, you still be able to accept him as your Savior, but it's going to be at great cost now. It's going to be at great cost. And this is because his grace is no longer abounding like it is today. Beloved, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be finished. You say, well, you're scaring me. You should be scared. You should be afraid. Because you know that you are going to leave here. I don't know if it's today, tonight, tomorrow, the next decade, the next century. I don't know. And neither do you. But one thing we do know is that we're going to be gone from here. We're going to be gone from here. And in going from here, we're going to have to spend eternity somewhere. Now, some of you say, well, you were speaking very harshly. I know the Lord will not punish me just because I did not receive, and or I refuse, that he's not gonna be that hard on me. Let me read to you the verse that so many people love to claim as their fire insurance verse, coming from John, the third chapter, starting at the 16th verse. Y'all heard part of this. You should have heard it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the verse that many of us call our fire insurance verse. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's not, once I got it, I got it. I ain't losing it. And that's simply because what? Because God, okay, sent his son, Jesus. Okay. And this is the whosoever what? Believes in him. Now watch this. And this is what God said. Y'all believe in my son. Believe in him. Okay. And for believing in him, you should not perish. What's that mean? You'll perish. No, you're not going to be caught up in the wrath to come. You're not going to be swept up to wind up having to go to eternal damnation. No, you will be able to have everlasting life. Life. And y'all, and we love that. We run with that verse. But let's read on a little bit. Because he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come in and say, they said, I'm taking y'all to hell and I'm taking y'all other ones with me. No. He came that everyone could be saved. All you have to do is believe. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. How many of you have been hungry? See people that are hungry, and you're watching somebody come, bring up their truck, put some tables out there, load them up with all different types of food, and then stand there and tell everybody, whosoever is hungry, come and eat. He said, well, a fool would not come out with all this stuff out there. Come on and eat. In so many words, that's what Jesus is saying to you. Listen, thieves, come on. I died for you, just believe that I did that. Drunkards, you come. Adulterers, you come. Fornicators, you come. Murderers, you come. All of you come and believe that I died for you, that my blood can wash away your sin. Believe it. And when you believe that I have done that for you, then just receive this. Receive me as your Savior. Receive me as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior. You say, well, what does that mean? I've left the instruction manual for you. You call it the Holy Bible. All you have to do is follow that. What does it tell you to do? Treat people the way you want to be treated. Show them the agape love, the love that I've showed to you, that I wanted you not to have to suffer for an eternity, and you shared that with others. Treat them like you would want to be treated. This is all I'm telling you to do. I'm not telling you to do something that the law disallows, something that you would not want treated to you. You don't want anybody going around lying on you, killing you, hurting you. And I'm teaching you, don't treat others that way. Don't lie on them. Don't hurt them. Just believe. Believe that I am who I say I am, that I'm the one that's going to come back for you, that I'm the one that's going to take you from earth to glory so that you can spend eternity with me and my Father in heaven. This is what the Lord is saying to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you right now. But let's go a little bit further. God is pleased with this, with his son, to this point. Now, you don't believe that. Let's watch this. Yeah, like I said, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that to save the world through him. We said that. But watch this 18th verse. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That part of your future is already written. He didn't say, will not be condemned. He said, you're not condemned. From the very moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, from that very instant, you are not condemned. You have been granted eternal life that very moment. But watch this. But whoever does not believe, you stand condemned already. You're walking around. You said, I'm alive. I'm in good health. But you're condemned already. You're just like that person who's on death row. You're just waiting, waiting, waiting for the chair, the gas chamber, to be hung, to be shot, whatever way they're going to take you away from here, but you're just waiting for it. He said, you're condemned already. Why? Because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Because you have not believed in Jesus. And Lord said, that's why I'm my grace period is going to be over. At that point, nah. You have to prove your worth then. When I've taken all those who believed me, who believed what I left here in this holy Bible, this is what the word of God is saying. When I have come back and raptured them, taking them out of this world, those who are left, you have to go through the wrath that will be there, no longer coming, it will be there. You have to go through. You have to prove it. You see, when during my grace period, I always supplied what you needed. The only thing I'm going to supply for you now is still a way to get from earth to glory, but you got to pay for it. You say, I don't know if God would do that. Well, that's why you need to read the word. In the very beginning, man didn't have to do anything but go and reach and grab the fruit and eat and dine. The mist that the Lord had going over the earth was watering it. Everything was beautiful, just growing in leaps and bounds. But once sin entered into the world, now man has to till the ground. He has to get behind the plow now, get the rocks and all that stuff out of the way so things can grow. Didn't have to do that before that. Well, y'all say that y'all love me. Y'all want me to be your savior, okay? You still gotta let the world know. We let the world know now. One way is by being baptized. We've shown the world that yes, we have entered into communion with our Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. By teaching, by preaching, by witnessing. By telling folks about what Jesus has done for us, we're letting the world know. He said, you're gonna, and that's what the Lord requires. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments, teach my people, teach those who don't know, teach the young ones. Those who are young in age, those who are young in their Christian walk, you teach them, instruct them, live the life before them. And he said, okay, when this tribulation period comes, you'll still have to do that. Now you'll have to do that. See, some of us say, well, we fall short of that, and the Lord is so gracious. Well, okay, only thing that it may cost me or cost you then is some rewards when you get to glory. But now, you say you love me, prove it. The grace period is over. You got to prove it. And some of you are saying, well, I don't think I want. It's a very simple answer to you, and I'm about finished. Don't get caught not believing. All you have to do is accept now, during the grace period. When all you have to do is just believe in your heart. Believe. 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 All you have to do is believe during this time of grace. He said, I'm still wondering, well, beloved, I can't control you at all. But I'm gonna leave you with this one last passage, which was also part of our text that we read for you earlier. I'm gonna leave you with this. Then he told us, do not seal up the words of this prophecy. Now, this is the angel who was speaking to John in the book of Revelation. He said, I want you to seal up the words of this prophecy. I want folks to be able to read this. I want folks to be able to hear this. I want them to be able to look in there and understand what the word of God is saying to them here. And this is what he said. Don't seal up these words of this prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. The time is near for Jesus to come back like he promised. And this is what else he said. Let the one, now see this during the tribulation period, now watch this. He said, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. You might as well enjoy yourself. You remember the grace period? The grace period is over. And this is during the tribulation period. He said, oh, you enjoying your sin? See, also what has happened at this point, those who are doing wrong, they have already sold out to the devil. They have taken the mark. So you might as well go ahead and you might as well enjoy yourself now. You might as well. He said, you who are evil, you are vile, full of hate and whatever it is that made you vile, might as well stay that way. Time is close. Now we're not there yet, because the fact that I'm still there talking to you, let you know you're not there, because I know, and I know that I know. And I'm saved. And there are many others like me that are saved. This time hasn't come, but it's near. It's near. And for those who choose to follow the way of the devil, those who choose to take the mark, those who choose to continue to refuse Jesus, live the way you're living. You should keep on living the way you're living. In other words, it's too late for you. It's too late. Now, there's a lot of things that's going to happen before you actually get to this point that's read right here in this Bible. But this is what he said. When he gets to this point, after you've gone through some of this tribulation, I ain't talking about the very beginning of the tribulation period. The word is very clear on how on how it's going to be. And when you get to this point, you might as well just go ahead on. Be yourself, as the old folks used to say. But don't lose heart, beloved, because he also says, let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Even in that terrible time of tribulation, even in that terrible time where people who are selling each other out, there's still going to be some that's going to refuse to take the mark. There's still going to be some that's going to refuse to sell out. There's still going to be some who's going to, even in that terrible time, they're going to receive Jesus Christ, ask him to become their Lord and Savior, even though they know it may cost their lives. Even though they know it may cost the lives of their family. Even though at that time, they're going to believe. And they're going to wish they had believed earlier. The old cliche is better late than never. Well, in the long run, yes, it is. But I don't know about you, beloved, but I don't want to go through the stuff that they're going to have to go through during this tribulation period. It's bad right now. Lord knows I don't want to go through anything more. But because of God's grace, we are able to go through life every day because of his grace. He's keeping us. For those of us who are still clinging to Psalm 91, I bring that up often to know that, yes, you know, that there are thousands falling by our side, but it has not come near us. Not because we're so good, but because God is so gracious and faithful to his word. He's keeping it from us. You see all these things that are happening, but yet he's keeping it from you because you believe. You're believing. And because of your grace, God's grace, I'm saying this to you, beloved. For those of you who are concerned about time winding up, remember what the word of God says. Remember what it says right here. Don't mess around and be caught. in that time when the grace period is over. Don't wait too late. Because there's even between all of this, I mean, I would have had to spend hours just sharing this with you. But even with all of this that we're getting to, these are just the high points. There's so much that's going to be going on in between all of this. And all of these things matter. So many promises, so many assurances in the Word of God. Some, the believers can claim, but there's some that those who don't believe are not going to be able to receive and claim. And there's so much. I would pray that those of you who are hearing these words, that you hear them and don't take my word for it. That's why I gave you the passages of scripture where I'm referring to. Again, Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th and 9th verses, and Revelation, the 22nd chapter. I encourage you to read it, the whole chapters, all of them, but pay special attention to that 10th and 11th verses to realize that when there's going to be a time with God's grace, it's that grace period. It's going to be over. I'm not preaching dispensationalism to you today, but I'm just letting you know that there's going to be a time where God says, I'm tired. I'm tired. My son suffered, bled, died, resurrected, and ascended back to glory with me for you. And you refuse. You refuse him. You reject him. You want to go the way of the world. It's almost like spitting in my son's face. Nah, enough. Enough. Come on home, children. This is what he's going to be saying to those of us who love him. He said, come on home. Let me get y'all caught up. Meet my son in the air. It's time to leave this place. They don't know what tribulation is. They don't know what the world is like without my grace. But they will know. I'm not going to be as liberal as I have been. You say you love me. Like we said, prove it. Show me. You have to show. And it's going to cost. I'm not saying you got to get up on the street corners. I don't know what all you're going to make folks do, but you're going to do something. And whatever it is you do, I don't care if it's no more than just saying I'm a believer or just going around because I don't have the mark that would let them know automatically that you're not a follower of Satan. And it'll do some things to you. But you don't want that. And you don't have to have that. You don't have to experience that. Because right this very moment, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right this moment. It doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've just done in the past minute, the past hour, the past week, the past day. Doesn't matter. Right now, from your heart, you can accept the Lord as your Savior. And if you're doing that from your heart, He will save your soul. Your eternity will begin right then and there. Your blessed assurance of knowing that you have everlasting, eternal life can begin right now. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No. Does it mean you're going to want to be as perfect as you possibly can? Of course. How do I know this? The Lord said, listen, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just going to tell you some of the things the Lord said. He said, taste of me and see that I'm good. Don't take my word for it. Try me. Try me. Put me to the test, the Lord is saying. I said that I will do this for you. See if I will. Don't ignore what you've seen me do for your parents or your grandparents or even your great grandparents. What you've seen me do for friends of yours, the family of friends of yours, what you see happening around about you every day, miracles that people take for granted every day. When you're able to recognize that it's me, you went, wow. Wow. You say, I want to be part of this. I don't know how much time I have here. I may have a long time, I may have a short time, but no matter how much time I have, I want the assurance that when everything is over with here, that I will have time with Jesus throughout eternity. And you can do that right now simply by accepting the Lord as your Savior right now. You don't need me. I have no, like I said, I have no heaven or hell to send you to. But by believing that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you, you believe that in your heart and you receive him as your Savior. Again, you can start worrying about the wrath to come. And it's going to be some things between now and when the Lord comes back for you that you'll grow in, but you won't have that opportunity until you become part of the kingdom of God. For those of you who said, I did that some time ago and I went my way, but the Lord has spared me to be here now and I want to rededicate my life, then do so. Do so. The Lord is still right there with arms outstretched, telling you to come on back home. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. The Lord is still gracious right now. Grow in his grace and in his knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do that. Do that. And watch what happens. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for being so good, for being so gracious, for being so merciful to us. We thank you, Lord. And we're praying, Lord, that today, for that one who heard your message today, that they will not hesitate, that they will realize that they were spared just to be able to hear this message. They may be looking around at their circumstance. They may be looking around at where they are, but Lord, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, you can reach down and pull them up. You can do that. In the city, Lord, you can reach to the guttermost and pull them up to the uttermost. You can do that. You have done it. You've shown us in your word where you've done it for others. And Lord, there's someone that's saying right now, Lord, do it for me. Save me. Pull me out of my mess. I can't do it. I've tried it too many times. I can't. I can't walk away from certain friends. I can't walk away from certain jobs. I can't walk away from certain relationships. I need you, Lord. I need you. Some people say, Lord, I'm just praying that you'll open up this door, open up the other door. Lord, some of us need to pray that, Lord, I hope that you'll close this door that I've gone through. Close it. Keep me from going through it. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the soul, Lord, that's coming this day. We believe that there is someone that is coming this day that heard your word, that is putting their trust in you. They don't know how they're going to do it, but Lord, they say that I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to let you do it. I'm putting my life in your hands. So Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you'll move according to your spirit, according to your blessings, your riches and glory, that you'll bless. And we thank you. We thank you. And we thank you again. And we pray, Lord, that as you allow us to go through even the rest of this day, that you allow us to do so living and walking in your spirit. governing ourselves in such a way, Lord, that even the very world be able to see us and see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our lives. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Know that the grace period is going to be over. Don't let it be over for you.